Janis Joplin may have pushed the envelope for women in rock, but Dorothy Marsick thinks she didn't go far enough. Just look at her song, Piece of My Heart, not exactly a feminist anthem. Marsick studied the evolving role of women in 20th century America from a unique angle. Top 40 song lyrics. Her book is called Respect, Women and Popular Music. Now, Marsick says popular music in the early 1900s paints a picture of women as helplessly dependent on men.
Fanny Bryce, Ruth Etting, who was extremely popular, some people might still remember her, and Helen Kane, who was one of the top singers of the day. People don't remember her now, but she was so well-liked back then that she became the role model for the 1930s character Betty Boop.
I want to be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I want to be loved by you, alone, boop-boop-ba-doo.
You even wrote that she sued when Betty Boop was created because she said, hey, guys, you've just taken me.
Yes, and if you listen back to Helen Kane's song of I Want to Be Loved by You, you will think that that is Betty Boop singing because the style is exactly the same. And in fact, in the first cartoons, the first few years that Betty Boop was having cartoons made about her, the beginning cartoon had a picture of Helen Kane in her name. After the suit, they quit doing that, and they actually took them off of the earlier ones. So that was very clear that they were patterning it after Helen Kane.
I want to be loved by you.
What about the wartime? Did that change people's perception of women? Did it change possibilities for women singers as it did for factory workers, for instance?
It did, because, as we know, most men were gone to war, and women took over the factories, the office. They started to feel some power. You had, of course, a lot of songs about the war, but there were some songs about strength. My favorite is Dinah Shore's 1942 song, Blues in the Night, where she says, my mama done told me when I was in pigtails, my mama done told me, hon, a man's gonna sweet talk and give you the glad eye, but when that sweet talking's done, a man is a two-face and he'll leave you to sing the blues in the night.
And that leads, of course, directly to the 1950s when Mamie Eisenhower was the first lady. And
right, and you've got a lot of gold digger songs, because if you think about it logically, an intelligent woman, if she has to depend on a man for her living, she better find a rich one. So you had songs like Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, Big Spender, and then I Enjoy Being a Girl, Doris Day's Que Sera Sera, which to me is the ultimate song in what we in my profession call external locus of control, which means I'm never in charge of myself. I always have to ask someone else, get them to make decisions for me, because she's asking first her mother, then her teacher and her lover, what will I be? What will I do?
So when the 50s ended and we moved into the 60s, was there an immediate turn in the lyrics?
No, there was an overlap. It took until about 63, 64 for the songs of anger to come up, and that was just about the time when the women's movement was starting. Betty Friedan's book came out in 63. And I think of music as a lagging indicator. It's just slightly behind what's happening, because music is illustrating the values that are going on. And so it's just a little behind what those values are. So the women's movement was starting around 60. Betty Friedan's book came out in 63. There was all these consciousness raising groups. And You Don't Own Me, which to me signifies the beginning of these songs, came out in 1964. So it was a song pushing back. You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. It was very different from I Will Follow Him and Johnny Get Angry. I want a caveman. I want a brave man. And then a few years later, 1968, Nancy Sinatra's number one song, These Boots Are Made for Walking, which was really, hey, guy, I'm in charge here. I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
You know, the other woman singer from the late 60s, early 70s that you really can't avoid talking about has to be Aretha Franklin.
Oh, Aretha, yes. And there's another example. We owe a lot to African-American women in this movement towards empowerment because it was the first songs that were about pushing back came from black blues singers, and it was Dinah Shore who owed a lot to these early black blues singers. Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith and so on. And then Leslie Gore comes and says, you don't own me. But I think it still owes a lot to these black women singers. And then Aretha singing R-E-S-P-E-C-T, which set a new tone for women's independence.
When we're talking about Aretha Franklin, I mean, respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T was a big hit. What are the lyrics to it?
Well, interesting, that song was written by Otis Redding. He recorded it in the late 50s or early 60s, and it never got to the top 40. I think it got to number 72. Aretha took it with the exact same lyrics, and the meaning is very different. Now, most people don't know the lyrics. They know the chorus, but the lyrics of the verses are, I come home from work every day, and I give you all my money, and I just want my just desserts. I want some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And it's so different when a man says that from when a woman says it, because when a man says it, you say, okay, he's the breadwinner. He comes home and he wants her just to, you know, give him whatever. But when a woman's singing it, it has the implication that he's laying around all day and she's working and bringing home the money. And I always found that song ironic in a sense that it is about a woman taking care of a man and wanting some respect. So I think, now, where's the equality in that one? But the point is that people don't listen to the verse. They listen to the lyrics of the chorus, which is R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take care. T-C-B, which nobody's ever been able to figure out that I know what that is. Just give me some respect.
After the 60s, women felt empowered, but did it last? Did we move into the 70s and 80s feeling as though women had found their spot?
Well, to some extent. I mean, we went through a period in the 70s and early 80s of cynicism. And I think that comes from the anger that pulled away the veils of denial. This whole codependent, needy era that we were in for so long was also characterized by not really seeing the truth, being in denial. Oh, he's going to love me, and all my problems are going to be solved. It's the white knight coming to save us. And anger has a way of stripping away that, and we started to see that there is no Prince Charming who's going to save us from ourselves. And what happened is then a whole series of songs that were very cynical. Janis Ian's At 17, I Learned That Love Was Meant for Beauty Queens. Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do with It. Madonna's Material Girl, I Don't Want Love, I Want Cold Hard Cash. And so we had to go through that cynical period. But then out of that, by the late 80s, did come that inner strength. By the 90s, there's this buildup of the inner strength of women, and that actually was the largest category in the 90s. But at the same time, there were these really filthy songs about women singing about sex and sexual things. I do think that one can only go so far. I mean, if you look at some of the recent videos, like Christina Aguilera's new video out, I mean, how much further can you go? And because I'm an internal optimist, is going to win out, that women are not going to have to resort to using their sex to get power, because we're going to have it from our inner strength.
Let's go back just a little bit. The 80s have to be a kind of a high point, don't you think? I mean, songs like Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
You still hear it played today.
You do. And her message, whether it was back in the 80s or today, is one of strength and women finding some new ground. That Girls Just Want to Have Fun, it's not only just a fun song, but the message was, we don't want those double standards anymore. It's time for us to be equal.
I come home in the morning like my mother said.
Dorothy Marsick is the author of Respect, Women and Popular Music. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Jim Fleming. To the Best of Our Knowledge is produced by Steve Paulson, Veronica Rickert, Doug Gordon, Ann Strainchamps, Charles Monroe Kane, and Mary Lou Finnegan, with engineering help from Marv Nunn. You can buy a tape of this program by calling the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. Ask for Society Music, number 121A.
PRI, Public Radio.